Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative, and it's rained solid for the last 24 hours in Montclair, New Jersey.
Are you getting crabby?
Yes, I'm getting very crabby if you couldn't tell. The sun is coming out, but it's very wet inside.
Okay, so here we are. Time to talk about what's happening. Talk about fun stuff outside. Rain. I escaped the East Coast, so I actually left the day before it started pouring rain in Baltimore. I'm back from this amazing government program that we did for DARPA.
It's like secret spy military stuff. It couldn't be cooler.
Really is. I should totally know the acronym. The U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. See, I got it. And we, TLC, were tasked with developing presentations that aligned with kind of the master visual branding. This event was actually a public event, well, public press. So the public got to, I can talk about it a little, I guess, is what I'm saying. That actually the production company had a designer that created the overall branding for the event. So there's a lot of really, really, really nice signage around. So we got to design a presentation that kind of wrapped up all this formal print design stuff into a PowerPoint template. And then we had a really fun time of interpreting some pretty amazing technology research into kind of a visual presentation. But I received this really, really cool press release. It's not clear. So I am actually reading something. I'm not narrating.
Sure.
It's not clear which is more challenging, constructing AIs, artificial intelligences, that can collaboratively learn to manage radio spectrum more effectively than humans can, or presenting the results in a way that isn't snooze-inducing. Yet both were accomplished at the blah, 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 blah event.
That's cool.
You know, I feel like I got called out as you took really boring stuff and made it really fun to look at. So there.
Congratulations.
I'm working on a number of print data reports, including a big one for the U.S. military hospital system.
Oh.
And, you know, as much as we complain about the limitations of Microsoft handling charts in various ways, I'm really missing Microsoft in trying to put hundreds of charts into InDesign. It's challenging because there are a lot of ways to do it. And I've done different things over the years, including using Microsoft and PowerPoint and then bringing in PDFs. But right now, I'm actually building a lot of these by hand in InDesign, which is not as bad as it sounds, and it has a lot of advantages. But there's no perfect, there's no ideal solution. I feel there should be, but
so are you saying by missing Microsoft in that as much as we complain about charting in PowerPoint, there's some things that you really could use in InDesign?
Oh yeah. Just drop your data in and poof, and you know, you're able to change your data and change the look of it, and the data is still live. That's the big thing. Like you're able to design charts while keeping the data live, where, you know, in Adobe it's really just ends up being a bunch of shapes and stuff. So it's a little challenging.
So you know what I've done, Nolan? Actually, maybe this is a separate topic here, but I have actually taken charts from PowerPoint because I've been received them, or most likely Excel. Exported those as EMFs, which I think we can now do as SVGs, and I've dropped those into InDesign. Well, actually, maybe I did intermediate. Maybe I went to Illustrator and then InDesign. Yeah. But that way I had all the data points with data behind them, but I knew they had to be visuals when I'm doing the print work.
Well, there are times that I've done things like that. Obviously, it's not live if you need to update it.
Exactly.
The thing that I've done a number of times, which has worked well, but it's only in certain situations because again, there are pros and cons, is to make a whole PowerPoint file, one chart per slide.
Yep.
And then you output a PDF and bring that into InDesign. And then if one chart changes, all you have to do is go back to the PowerPoint, change it, make a new PDF, and everything updates. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is global design changes. If you want to, you know, change all your label styles or, you know, edit a color or something, it gets a little trickier. So
that's interesting. That's, you know, I do the PDF route for other things, but I've never thought about it for charts.
Yeah,
okay, separate topic. We should probably, that's actually a good topic for future.
Okay, it's on the list. Well, it continues to be crazy, end of year crazy. I'm really hoping that week after Christmas before New Year's, which sometimes can be a little quiet, a little slow because other people aren't working. I'm hoping I can catch up then. I got this really fun telephone call last Thursday. In our last podcast, I had mentioned that I presented at the local SharePoint Saturday, and had a good attendance. My reviews were great, but what came out of it is one of the attendees went back to his office and said, "We have to get this woman in to present at our next conference." And so they called me, and I'm booked to present again. This time paid.
As an actual project. That's awesome.
An actual project. Exactly. In June in northern Minnesota. So it'll be really fun. So that I had no expectations when I went in and did this volunteer presentation for SharePoint Saturday. And it's just really exciting to get that kind of feedback.
Sandy, Microsoft would be proud. You are living the MVP, because that's the, you know, that's the cornerstone of the whole MVP program, right? Is community support and involvement and education. And, you know, that's why we're nominated, because we do so many outgoing things and we don't get paid for it.
Right.
I mean, have you guys gotten your check from the royalties on the podcast yet?
Still looking for it.
Okay, I feel if we're going to move into the news thing, this is newsworthy. Not only is this the last episode of 2018, but our next episode begins season 4 of the Presentation Podcast. Nolan, what's up? What do we have in news? Anything like real news, presentation stuff?
Yeah, PowerPoint. Live subtitling and translation is coming to PowerPoint within the program in late January, so we're told. This is something, I think we've talked about it before. There is a separate plugin from Microsoft that has allowed this for at least the last year. It essentially allows you, as you're speaking, it listens to you and it gives subtitles on the bottom or the top of your screen. And I assume this built-in version will do it as well. It will also hopefully provide live translation in multiple languages. And again, this is a plugin or a separate service that I've played with a little bit and installed. I've never used it live, but it's cool. I mean, it's really cool. And the main reason for this is accessibility,
right?
But it's got a lot of uses, and I just think it shows a lot of promise. So I can't wait for that in January.
Now clients will never have an excuse for putting text on slides again.
Oh, they'll find it. They'll find the excuses, Sandy.
I know. To Nolan's point, it's an accessibility benefit, but I can see commercially, I guess, a lot of
benefit. I think it's going to have a lot of use if it works well. I mean, there are things.
Yeah.
So I did a blog post on the separate add-in when Microsoft made it available earlier this year, like way at the beginning of 2018.
That's right. It was a good post.
I haven't played with the new version, and I'm assuming it's just going to show up as a new option on the ribbon. But if it does similar, I have a pretty good, I had our design team kind of start playing with subtitles and where it does and doesn't work for the taking text on slides and translating it, because, you know, design can create non-uniform, non-bullet list things, and it doesn't always work well there, but definitely a step in the right direction. Soon you'll be pulling out PowerPoint on your phone and using it as your mobile translator.
There was a news article, you may have heard about the Chinese executive, I think it's Huawei.
Yes.
That's what you pronounce it, computers. So she's, I think, still like being detained in Canada for, I won't go on the whole thing, but essentially she showed a PowerPoint presentation that the authorities are showed how they were breaking U.S. sanctions against Iran. And so I tweet, and it was a terrible presentation. It was filled with text. It was just a document, basically. But I tweeted out, I said, you know, not that I'm condoning illegality, but you might want to put the shady stuff in your talk track and take it off the slides. And then, of course, the follow-up was, that is until Microsoft starts listening and live transcribing and has everything you say in the file as well. So,
well, that's funny. Okay, so what about the Microsoft icons? Now, and by that, I'm talking about the new product icons. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those?
Yeah, they are. So they're new icons, application icons for all the Office programs. So Excel, PowerPoint,
I think
Word.
They're beautiful. I'm not totally fond of the PowerPoint iconography, but mm-hmm. yeah, they're new. What do you got about them, Sandy? Tell us about them.
Okay, well, and speaking of what you just mentioned, the PowerPoint iconography includes a pie chart.
Oh, the wonderful pie chart.
Yep.
Yes.
And you know,
which we try to discourage people from using.
That's right.
Well, it's and been then, a part of the, I mean, PowerPoint and pie chart. I mean, if you look at any of the,
been,
any of them
right.
there.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But now it's the only thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Now it's like prominent. It's like, oh, really? That's what we're going to be recognized for.
And the great thing, which TJ Katapas pointed out to me, which I didn't even see at first, was it's not even a well-built pie chart. It's only two slices, but they break best practices by putting the smaller slice starting at 12 o'clock, which is you're supposed to put the big slice starting at 12 o'clock.
Exactly. So, exactly.
You know, this is real inside baseball here, but
yeah. Well, we probably need to talk about it more, but the I guess they're just a small part of the larger design as a part of Microsoft's Fluent design.
From a design perspective, yeah. I like them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're kind of neat and very slim down and simple. And
I mean, the Fluent design system, I mean, it's basically Microsoft's guidelines for how they're designing everything going forward from Windows 10 on. It's devices and platforms, which means operating systems and everything else. But I kind of find it funny that we're trying to get into this. You know, when you do a gradient and it had line breaks, you know, there was steps in a gradient that meant low res, old school graphics. And it's like all the icons have like gradients built into it, like stepped gradations.
Yeah.
That's very designery. But in, you know, as a designer, I looked at it and went, oh, old school, like bad low level.
But maybe they're bringing it back. Look at when they started with the flat design that set the pace for how many years ago was that? So it could be on its
way. What do you call this design? Because it's not really, it's flat design, but it has depth.
Ooh, it's depth. Yeah. That's
flat depth.
Interesting. I didn't think about
I'm making that. I'm coining a new phrase. They're flat depth design.
Yeah. I thought the video, this is totally just personal, but the video was so overkill for the introduction.
Well, we have got it. If anybody has not seen it, we're going to throw a link. I know it's been all over social media, but there is a great video. Microsoft produced it, meaning they hired a company to do it.
Right.
Super, super. I mean, it's
why you got to be like that, Troy?
What?
Why you got to be like that?
Oh, you know, they don't really.
That's what they do.
I mean, they could have hired me to do it. But yeah. Anyways, it's a really, really cool. It's an opening piece that I would use at one of my events. You know, one of the events we're doing, we were posting something. It's just so over the top for a Microsoft app. It's very, I mean, it's cool. I actually had a hard time believing Microsoft was putting it out first time I was watching it. So we'll put the link in there. I do have a link to a very good article that I read about it that talks more about why they're going that route and stuff. So I'll throw it in there as well.
And we should point out that for anybody that cares, I mean, the people designing this stuff is not the Office team, right? Or it's not the
it's
individual
definitely the marketing
program
team somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's so many different parts of Microsoft that, you know, getting them to all be on the same page and everybody sort of, you know, got their own thing, so it's got to be challenging.
Are they using?
Because
go ahead.
I have to imagine, you know, if you're the PowerPoint, Excel, Word team, like you just get the email or the video one day, you're like, oh, okay, this is what it is. Guess we'll just swap in these logos.
Okay, have you guys noticed this? And what's really funny is I'm in PowerPoint right now and I can't make it do it. The What's New button, you know, you go into the backstage, you go into File, you go into Account, and there's a button that said What's New, and you click it, and it'd be a little pop up dialogue. Mine's grayed out right now, but how did I get it now? What's new in my, now I'm running the monthly targeted. So I'm running the second level beta, not the super beta, but I'm running the beta version, not
Same
the
here.
Super stable.
Right.
And it pops up as a right-hand action pane now with more information and more links in it. What's really funny is I actually can't open it right now. The thing's grayed out.
Hmm.
Why would I open this?
Mine opens.
So anyways, the what's new is changing. I saw it. I should have taken a screen capture. It opens up as a right-hand pane now, and it gives a little bit more detail, and it also gives you links to open up the web page that Microsoft more or less keeps up to date with the kind of history of what's been new or the things they do want to talk about is what's new. And so that's kind of a new little PowerPoint thing. It's kind of opening. And what's really funny is I can't do it right now because everything's grayed out. So apparently I must be in between features.
I don't think Mac has that.
I sent an image to you, a screenshot, not a screenshot, a capture for you.
Is that the action pane?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is. How'd you get it? Mm-hmm. How'd you open it?
I have access.
Did you go to file account?
Yeah.
Or how did you get that action pane open?
I went to file account.
And then you click the what's new button?
Yep.
Oh, mine's totally grayed out.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. No. Well, it's just, I did a huge update just last night, as a matter of fact. Well, Windows had a big update, and I'm assuming some Office stuff was in there. But there it is. Hey, you know, can we post yours, Sandy? Just say here it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll post a picture in the show notes. Not that everybody uses the show notes, but there it is. It's on my list to make a blog post out of it. Of course, I can't do it right now. Anything else in the news?
The 2018 Prezi Awards were just announced. Prezi.com/awards. You can see a whole bunch of examples of Prezis, I guess.
Did you look at any of them?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you recommending we go look at them?
Yeah. If you work with Prezi, you know, mm-hmm. take a look. I was a little disappointed because I don't work in Prezi anymore these days. And after all these years, I was very excited to see them, and some of the graphic design is nice, like certainly, like I'm not going to deny mm-hmm. that, but getting down to like, this is a good reason to use Prezi, I didn't see.
Okay.
In a lot of those, I was like, okay, and I got lost as usual in a lot of them, so I didn't see anything all that amazing.
Okay, this is our final podcast of 2018, so hang with us. It's not the final, it's just the final of this year. And our conversation is a bit lighter. We came up with 10 questions to reflect on 2018, both kind of the overall presentation industry, as we've kind of been doing anyways with our what's happening in the presentation world, as well as what's happening in our studios from just kind of a look back. So let's wrap up 2018.
All right, so let's talk about some of the best new features added to PowerPoint this year. Troy, you got anything?
I'll say two features that I think were just huge improvements. One of them is a legacy thing that should have been added, I don't know, 9 years ago. Image transparency. The fact that we can click on an image and mm-hmm. you can actually lower the opacity of the image without going through a whole bunch of roundabout hacks is a huge feature. And I think that one's going to probably be one of the biggest use features across like the whole demographic of people that use PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm. Troy, when you said legacy, did we used to have that option?
No, I think it's a legacy thing that we should have had. Like this should be something we've been talking about 9 years ago. This is just that easy of a thing. And I can't believe it took this long to get it implemented.
I use it constantly.
It's been on the Mac. It's been on the Mac for years. Remind everyone.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize it hadn't been on the PC.
Yeah. It's a huge deal. And the fact that they finally got it in, I think is a huge milestone for 2018. The other one I'm going to put in there is, let's see, how do you describe it? 3D PowerPoint. It's 3D models is big, but then the fact that you can have the 3D model animations, they're like mini movies, and
sure.
Office will support them. I think that is a huge turning point. I don't think it's being used by nearly anybody. I don't know what proper terminology there. Mm-hmm. No one's using it, but the fact that it's been implemented, it's a turning point in what we can accomplish in presentation design. And I think going forward, probably over the next 2-3 years, it's going to become a huge factor in what I'll call advanced visual design, because it's mm-hmm. going to be some really, really cool stuff coming out of it. And it's all because it was put in place this year. So I think that's a huge one, is that 3D models, PowerPoint can recognize the rigged animations and play them back.
And just to be clear, you're talking about the embedded animations within the 3D model itself versus applying a PowerPoint animation that allows the model to rotate, for example.
Correct. So like a 3D model of a person walking, you know, that's rigged. So the arms sway and the legs, you know, move and the ankles and the whole thing. PowerPoint can recognize that video loop and play it as part of the 3D model. It has nothing to do with PowerPoint's animation. It's literally playing an embedded animation. So I think it's a very cool, I think those are probably my two big features as we said it that I would think of. One's a, hey, everybody needs this and it should have been around for a long time. And the other one's is, hey, this is going to be a big thing going forward.
Well, mine is sparkle pens.
You're kidding.
I am absolutely kidding. I don't think I've ever used it. Oh, you did not believe you, me, did you?
I wasn't going to say anything, but
you're spitting out coffee.
I mean, oh, that's amazing. Yes.
Yeah. No. I've never used one. I just thought it was funny. Exactly.
Okay. Yes.
Exactly. Okay. So no, that I agree with the image transparency. Like I said, I don't think I've ever adopted a new feature so quickly and used so often as I've used that since it
Big
came
statement.
On board.
That's amazing.
And of course, SVG support, the ability to, I believe it was this last year where we were able to start to
ungroup them.
Ungroup them. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
That is huge.
That's a part of my regular workflow at this point, just because of I still am a little concerned about the backward compatibility, but I usually ungroup them and lock the ratio and when I'm creating libraries for my clients.
Very cool. Yes, that is huge.
Yeah,
Nolan, how about you?
For me, I would say SVG import and ungrouping, which is also super important on the Mac, which it came a little later to the Mac. I'm not sure when.
It was in 2018.
How much later, but So that, just, as you said, that was huge. And I have never adopted something so quickly because now all of my icons, I simply download SVG from Noun Project or wherever and just dump those right in and I can ungroup them. So yeah, that is really huge. The other thing I would say in terms of PowerPoint specifically is there the beginnings of AI are creeping in and it's starting slowly. I mean, a few examples are PowerPoint is now examining your content to suggest better designer layouts, for example. So if you say agenda, it might design it in a certain way or might number items or chunk them out. Like rather than, you know, if you don't have agenda there. So it's actually looking at your content, which I think is, you know, simultaneously scary, but also helpful. Live transcription as well. The way that, one of the things that does, and again, we said that's coming in January natively to PowerPoint, but it looks at your content. And if you have, for example, a hard scientific word and you say that word, it will look to what's on your slide to spell it correctly. So, and there are also some things with alt text as well. So, I think it's a good step forward, that Microsoft is actually examining your content to help you make better presentations.
I agree with you. I remember years ago saying that Microsoft had the opportunity, just like with bullet points, when they first introduced PowerPoint, they set, not in a positive way, the way people give presentations. Yeah. And now they're doing that again with the advent or the incorporation of these different AI features.
Yeah. And it's a huge push within Microsoft on a whole bunch of levels, not just for Office, but they're investing heavily in it.
I think AI is going to become one of the most overused phrases of the year.
Too late. already has.
Because it's being used for everything. I mean, after doing this huge DARPA project, you know, AI is everything, but their level of AI is completely different than the level we're talking about. But then you get, anyways, it's pretty interesting. Hey, you know, the other thing to throw out there, because we just talked about the 3D model animations and we talked about SVG. I'm going to do a shout out to Tom Howell over in Australia. He made a really good comment or request to Microsoft is SVG embedded animations even on the horizon of being thought about. And that's a really good one because it's something I haven't even really thought about until that, but SVGs can basically create little GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it. But they have the ability to have animation within their vector packaging of which, you know, Office doesn't recognize, web browsers do and stuff. So that's kind of, that could become an interesting cross section of the two as well.
And we should clarify, Microsoft did not answer.
No, not yet. No,
what a great ask. That's a great ask.
Yeah, Tom was definitely on top of it to even be thinking in that realm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, next question. Topic of the year.
Okay, so what is the best presentation that you've worked on or you've seen this year?
Speaking of Tom Howell, I'm going to give it to his presentation on animation at the Presentation Summit in 2018. We've all seen crazy things with animation and, you know, pushing PowerPoint to work like video, but Tom sort of, and Synapsis Creative, which is his company in Australia, does some really incredible stuff, not just fireworks, but really animating things in logical ways and, you know, the way things you see them, you know, in film and on, you know, and the way animation should be to help tell a story. I mean, incorporating physics and calculations to make things look real and logical.
Like the bouncy,
Storytelling perspective.
You described the bouncy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know,
the squishy bouncy ball. Yeah.
Squishy
bouncy ball. But they do some really incredible animation stuff to help tell a story, not just for pizzazz sake. So that was my favorite presentation.
You know, that presentation was awesome because it's all animation stuff that I think a lot of people do. It was probably more than most people do. It was really cool. I was like, oh, yeah, we do that. But he wrapped it into an entire storyline. So speaking of story, he actually made a presentation about animation that was the story of how to do animation. And it all came together really, really phenomenal. It was really, really cool.
I can't believe I missed it.
Best presentation, Sandy?
So I'm dividing my thoughts into a few categories. I worked on so many templates this year, more than I've done in any of the years past, but I most enjoyed the ones I did for a global financial services company. You know, you've heard of them. Their brand is everything. And I love the preciseness, the precision with which they asked for and demanded of their templates and the design and the grid and every the colors. It was really fun to work on. Best design presentation was an insurance company presentation because they asked me to change the way they've been designing and delivering presentations for decades. So I, using their guidelines, I was able to really switch it up. It was wonderful.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was a fun project. And overall, the most rewarding presentation I worked on was, again, this was another insurance company. It was a pitch that they were putting together to get funding for enhancing member relationships with Vietnam vets. What they're finding out is that Vietnam vets don't access their benefits because the VA is such a hard organization to work with. So this insurance company tested a program to reach out to vets to make the connection with the VA to guide them through the process. And I got the results. It's very, very successful. And it is just a very rewarding presentation.
That is cool on many levels. One, the topic is amazing. And two, that you got to have such a hand in the design, but two, you actually got to get metrics back on how effective a presentation was. Now, a lot of it's on delivery and use of it, but that's like the near impossible stuff to get. That's really,
that was really cool.
Amazing. Okay. I'm going to follow Sandy's thing. I'm going to have to break it into a couple of topics as well. I can't think of like the best presentation, but I will say the best destination to do a presentation was, I went to Japan in April of this year and did a really, really, I mean, it was a very cool presentation, but that was probably the best place to go for a presentation. That was fun.
Wow. Tokyo, and right? Were you in Tokyo?
It was in Tokyo. Yeah. It was really cool. It was, we had a big LED wall, lots of car stuff, and it was very cool. The best presentation we designed was actually primarily video. And it was for these, specifically the cinemagraphs we created. So, you know, it's all static, but certain portions of it are seamless looping video, but it was on 80-foot wide, 12-foot high LED wall. It was just this past October, so it's very fresh in my mind, but it was just I've done things that are wider and longer, but this thing was floor mounted and it was just awesome. And to walk up and literally be at the wall of this virtual set we created and go, we created this. It was really, really dynamic. So that was probably the best presentation display I've done. And then all the presentations were put inside, they were pretty much all 16 by 9. They were put inside pips. that we strategically designed into it. So we made a conference room look on this whole thing, and literally the presentations went up onto a whiteboard, you know, that was built into the background. So it looks like they had a place to live. It was very fun. So there's my take on best presentation of the year.
I can't believe you didn't say Lori's presentation on fonts at Presentation
Summit. Oh my gosh, I am such a bad husband.
And now you just got him in trouble.
And no, it was actually Lori's history of typography in 1 minute was the best segment of a presentation. She had a full 20-minute talk on typography and PowerPoint presentation design and how typography should actually be considered. It was phenomenal. It really was. And thank you, Sandy. I'm in such the doghouse when this comes out.
That's okay.
Okay, moving on. What about big presentation industry happenings this year?
Oh, there was a lot.
What was going on?
Of course, you know, the Presentation Guild unveiled their new completely revamped website. It's really nice, and we're getting such great feedback on it. I love that. It's much easier to use. It's great to hear you guys be on. And Troy, you just mentioned that you were in the forums, and that if, you know, to our members out there and to people who want to be members, these forums are a way to access industry experts at many different levels. It's a great resource for getting your problems solved. Let's see what else? Oh, well, the MVP Summit is always a great highlight for me, going to Redmond or Bellevue, excuse me, and participating in the summit. How about you guys, Nolan?
There were more than one presentation conference this year, I think for the first time in a while. You mentioned, the Presentation Summit was this year in San Diego, and that's the big one each year. But there was also a 2-day conference called the Click Presentation Design Conference that was part of Creative Pro Week, and that was in New Orleans. I don't think any of us went to it.
I didn't even know anything about it until after it happened. We never even covered it. That sounded really fun and exciting.
It was really under the radar. Yeah. And like, I know Rick Altman spoke and Richard Goring, I think. But yeah, there were a few other names, which I never heard of. So
the Guild sponsored it.
And the Guild didn't let us know about it?
Well, yeah, we did. I'm sure we put it out there.
I was oblivious.
Yeah, so that happened. And then there was a recent online presentation conference from Presentation Point. I know, Troy, you participated in that. You gave a session.
Yeah, that one went over really well. Good. I think it was well attended.
So, yeah, I mean, people have tried to get other presentation conferences happening or sort of small ones. I know there was a small one in London, I think, a couple of years ago. And anyway, but so it's hard. It's, you know, it's a small niche industry, but it's nice to see that they're starting to be more gatherings.
Yes. I think it's definitely up there with cool things happening. And I think next year it's going to be very similar. I think we're going to have a lot in 2019.
So, well, I think it speaks to the industry itself being legitimized as, you know, what we do. A lot of people don't even know that we have this skill set, this talent, and that it's a business. I hear it every other day. What? You do this? Really? So I think seeing these other conferences really shows that we're becoming recognized for what we do.
So, but back to our big presentation industry happenings this year, here's what I've got to say. Jamie Grock.
There you go.
Tools. I think in 2018, he put every coder at Microsoft to shame with his unbelievable pace of turning out tools. He put out tools that are fantastic, but they're tools that Microsoft said are not possible, and he did them, or that's something they will not add, and he went and added them because Microsoft wasn't willing to put them in at this stage, because, I mean, they have a big master plan, and there's a lot going on with what they choose to put in there, but I think he, as a individual coder, did more to advance usability of PowerPoint than pretty much anybody else. It was pretty amazing. His set of tools is definitely setting the trend for what can be accomplished. And I'm pretty excited. I mean, I think that was a big deal for this year.
It is. And that's saying a lot because we should talk about Microsoft, the dev teams, and their amazing pace of releasing new features and fixes. We saw tons this year.
Yes.
Yeah. There were multiple instances of bugs being identified as well and fixed, like sometimes within 24 or 48 hours, which was which was huge.
See, and that's what I want. Okay, that's a thank you, Sandy. That's what I want to say is Microsoft has done like a crazy amount of stuff this within the last 2 years, but 2018 has been crazy. The amount of new stuff coming out has never been seen before by us end users.
Yeah.
And it's been incredible. But Jamie went ahead and did even more beyond it, and not at the enterprise level, just you know, in the design realm. But yeah, I think the history of us of having to wait 6 months for updates and 3 year cycles for major new releases is gone. Microsoft has obliterated that. Sometimes with, hey, yeah, that feature will be out next week. Like what? That was just talked about. I do sometimes.
Yeah, and what
do you feel like we're kind of running beta software though? We're kind of testing it for them at times, and things go wacky.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
That's kind of a deal to consider.
But, you know, Microsoft will fix a bug in 24 hours. Jamie will implement a whole new feature in 24 right. hours sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So, have you guys gotten a chance to play with his new line spacing tool that does live updates so you can see it?
No.
I don't know if that one's released yet.
It's not.
He's got a new tool coming out that just like revolutionizes something that Microsoft should have done again 9, 10, 12 years ago. Okay, I'm going to just change the topic here. Get off the Microsoft and the coding thing because it's good and bad. But how about this personal fun? Best gadget of the year under $150 that you got?
Well, I suppose you could count my free Galaxy Note 8 replacement. My camera, for some reason, quit working and they replaced it in 24 hours.
I had a new Samsung phone. Did?
Yes.
Wow, Samsung. Phenomenal. Did.
Pretty cool. And then I suppose more seriously, and I don't know the price of this, the Ecobee. I think, Nolan, do you have
what
that?
What is that?
Yeah, I do have the Ecobee. I think it's a little more than $150.
Well, can I talk about it anyway?
yeah, but you talk about it. But yeah, I have mine are a few years old, but you got a new one?
Oh, yes, I did. And it's this one. We chose the model that comes with Alexa. But
what is it? I don't know what it is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, it's a smart thermostat.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think it's a better version of the Nest.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. We had the Nest for years and switched to the Ecobee this year and love
Ecobee.
It.
I just have the honey one. Honey, go change honey the temperature.
Honey, go change. Oh, you're funny. Now it's really great. Of course, it's a dumbed down Alexa, but it's fun. She plays music and whatnot. I guess she's pretty limited. We can ask.
And you can just say, you know, make it 70 degrees or
exactly.
whatever.
And she does. Exactly. Nice. It's really nice. And you can sync them. You can use it as an intercom. I haven't played with this a lot, but apparently you can intercom between the Ecobees. So we have two. We have one upstairs and one downstairs. If we ever, if we don't want to yell down the stairs, we could do the intercom thing.
What do you got, Troy?
Well, mine's truly under the $150 mark. I'm going to go with, the best gadget of the year is the iPhone camera lens that I got. It's called the Revolver. So it's a case with magnetic backing. I actually think I talked about this as one of my tech tips several months ago. I still use it. We just did a family trip to Disneyland over the weekend, which was a lot of fun. And, I pull it out and it has a wide angle lens on it that truly is an actual glass lens and it truly fits. And yeah, so I'm going to say that's probably I've used that a ton, like ongoing since I bought it in the middle of the year. So that's my best gadget. I'll put a link to it. It's pretty fun. And
I just got a new portable hard drive. The ones that I really like are from G Technology. Yeah, so they've got a new USB-C portable drive. Does not require external power. I got the 4 terabyte version for $110 on Amazon. And the thing, it's fast. And the thing that I love most about it is it is so small. Like I didn't even realize how small it was when it showed up. But I've been getting these drives over the years and, you know, I've got a version of it that plugs in and is huge under my desktop for backup, but I just got this new one. It's tiny. It's fast. It's great. And it's $110 for 4 terabytes. So it's
isn't that crazy. 4 terabytes. Does it fit like the palm of your hand small or is it like a 2-hander thing?
It's closer. I have small hands, but it's more palm of your hand type thing. Definitely.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Tiny. Yeah, and I've never had one die on me.
See, there's the statement right there. That's worth everything.
That's and of course now I'm tempting fate. In a moment, they're going to start dying on me this week, probably.
Okay, so did you guys spend anything over buy anything over $1,000?
I didn't buy it yet. Looks like a May, but I think the best for me, the best gadget, you know, if we're going to call it that, over $1,000, I would say is the new MacBook Air. Although it might start at $999, but nobody wants.
Yeah,
that
but
one.
That's not the model. You'll
exactly.
Get.
Yeah, but I've seen it in person. It's pretty. It's nice. So maybe I'll get it in the new year. But I like the MacBook Air a lot.
You just got a new Surface Book too, didn't you? You're like on a computer roll here.
I got a Surface laptop.
Laptop, that's it.
This was the slowest year ever for me in buying gadgets. I usually get a laptop or a new computer every
year. You bought a new home.
I know. Well, that's exactly it. I think it, if there's anything, I'm thinking of investing in new office furniture. My new office is a little smaller, so I think I might do that. I don't know. The only I did buy a car. That's not really.
Is it a business expense? Is it a business vehicle?
It is.
Well, there it is. Can you tell us what it is? What you get?
I have a Porsche Cayenne.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Nice.
All-wheel drive for the weather, like right
exactly.
now?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Okay, you got to talk to my wife.
Okay, I will.
You can convince her I deserve it somehow.
It's really nice drive. Okay. How about you, Troy?
Well, I guess I'm going to go with Nolan here as on the computers. Lori and I have new production computers. We have many types of computers, like for the TLC Creative, but our production computers are like the main one we work on. So like the one sitting in front of me. And Lori and I, we stepped ourselves down from the ultra high graphics performance, which took a lot of thinking. But we also stepped down the weight and size, which was the big offset. So we're running the brand new Lenovo X1 Extreme laptops.
Why these did you step down? I'm curious.
These laptops were just released in October. So they're like brand new. They've never existed before. They've had many people may be familiar with the X1 Carbon. It and like the Dell XPS. I can't think of what the Dell one is, but you know, they've been kind of like the gold standard for lightweight, full power, real laptops, Windows laptops. I would put this one in the realm of the MacBook Pro category for performance, but more approaching the MacBook Air for size and weight. So we had to compromise a little bit on the graphics performance. Now that's saying it, we're still in the NVIDIA 10 series. We're just not at the 1070 or the 1080 level that I really, really want and have on all of our show computers. This one is a 15-inch monitor. We did some upgrades. We have dual. It's just like the MacBook Pro, MacBook Air. It uses the M2 drives. So we have a 1 terabyte primary drive and a 2 terabyte. Isn't that crazy? You can get 2 terabyte little teeny gum stick drives. So each of the computers have 3 terabytes of storage. It has a true Thunderbolt 3 port like a MacBook does. And we use that to connect to a full dock, a full featured dock. So I'm in my studio. I have my 26 inch external monitors, external keyboard, mouse. It all connects through one port now. 64 gigs of memory was a big upgrade. And it's the fastest generation. Let's see. How do you want to say that? It's the fastest i7 eighth generation. So it's not the brand new i9 that the new MacBook Pros come with, but this thing is blazing fast. And it has a true NVIDIA graphics card in it. And that's what we stepped down to. And these have the 1050. Where I like to have the 1060 or the 1070, but it can support dual 4K monitors. It can actually do 3 standard 1080 monitors, and it's not even a half an inch thick. It's with the power supply under 4 pounds, which is huge. But unlike your Surface Book or Nolan, your new Surface laptop, Surface Book laptop, what do I call it? I'm lost it.
Surface Laptop 2, if you want to be.
2. And that actually is a big deal because that's so. Yours is actually a little bit heavier than ours, but we don't have a touchscreen. That's the one option I didn't opt for on these ones. And it took a lot of thinking, but 70% of the time our laptops are closed and they're docked. Yeah. So, the touchscreen was like, well, that's really nice.
How's the trackpad on that? That's one thing I don't love. Actually, nobody in my opinion has gotten trackpad as good as Apple has gotten.
Okay. First of all, it's not as good as the Apple one because the Apple one is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But that being said, I really like this one. This one's good. It's really funny. It still has the little nubbin, the little iPad joysticky little red nubbin in the middle.
Oh, I don't like that.
Which no one will ever use, but it's part of the thing. But what's cool is the trackpad is actually a nice, it's very performance or very, I've had no problems using it. And that's saying a lot because I've used a lot of trackpads and we're like, oh, this is horrible. You know, pinch, zoom, scrolling, clicking is a big deal. That was the previous computers we have. That was the biggest problem is the clicking on them was horrible. Like the, you know, moving around was good, but actually getting a right click out of it took like conscious effort. This one's really good. But right above the trackpad, it has the traditional left and right click buttons because those are used for people that use the little iPad or IBM nubbin thing.
That's nice.
And I would never use the nubbin thing, but I've actually kind of found myself, you know, you move around with your thumb and you click with your index finger on the left or right click. So I'm actually kind of liking it. It's just kind of weird.
Anyways, I'm sure in the description, the product description, do they use nubbin?
I don't, they have a name. It's called the, I mean, it's literally called the IBM. I don't know what it's called.
No, it's okay. Red dot. I just think it's awesome. Yeah.
Anyways, that's our big investment. We literally just got them because these computers released in October. I actually bought them as a Cyber Monday. So this is all very recent purchase and I got a pretty good deal on them. I mean, they're still stinking expensive, but getting them, getting a hefty discount really helped. And I'm kind of excited to be traveling around with this. I mean, it's like my bag now, my normal computer bag is big. I'm like, wow, wait, I could, I mean, let's put it, so we have these Sager gaming computers. They're gaming rigs. These are my favorite show computers. They're a little over 10 pounds for the computer and the power bricks on them have at least a pound and a half. They might be pushing 2 pounds for just the power brick. Incredible computers. Like couldn't say anything bad about these. But like this computer is almost the same weight as the power brick alone on those. So that's pretty cool. Okay, we got to move on because I'm talking techie stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to conferences. What were the most memorable conferences or events that you attended this year?
For me, it was the 51 Pegasi B conference. The translation of that is this was a conference for early career astrophysicists that I spoke at, and that to me was a blast.
So you got to speak at that. I remember seeing you. Okay, that's really cool, Nolan.
Yeah, that was a real blast too.
What an insight!
Scientists and get all geeky for a couple days on astrophysics.
Cool. Well, I have a couple. You know, there's that, I mentioned the SharePoint Saturday Twin Cities. It is amazing. This was a completely a volunteer effort put on by local Twin Cities SharePoint experts, Office 365 experts. It was really, really cool. And then I have to bring, it has nothing to do with presentations, but the Minneapolis Heart Institute Foundation. The reason it's memorable is it was a fundraiser for women. You know, I go to those things. And I had symptoms, pre-heart attack symptoms that night at the cardiac or at the Heart Foundation fundraiser. I started having... Oh. Heart attack symptoms. Don't have to put that in there.
That's like fate of fate right there. That's amazing.
Pretty weird.
Okay. Most memorable conference you attended this year. That's almost not fair because I'm literally at a different event every week. And I counted, I was at 36 events this year. And that's show site presentation designer or as an attendee, you know, at conferences, and I'm only one of four travel designers at TLC. So there's a lot going on. So I guess
36
I have
six events.
Yeah. I was at 36. That's what's on the calendar. That's for me, but you know, and so I guess I'll go back to Japan because I was in Japan for the first time this year. Tokyo was the coolest city for an event. I just totally enjoyed my time there. And I'll go back to the exact same one, Phoenix, Arizona, the 80-foot long LED wall where, you know, we're in charge of developing all these virtual video sets and static backgrounds. That was probably my favorite tech design event. And we do a lot of really cool LED multi-screen stuff now. It's just getting easier and more amazing all the time. And then I'd say the presentation this summit was probably my best attended event. First of all, I was in San Diego, so I got to just drive in that morning and you know, it was real easy for travel. And I, you know, cause I just do so much travel, but I really, really liked the content this year. It was great. I mean, really, really was a highlight of my year.
Just rub it in.
You were busy.
Yeah.
Being doctor ordered to not be there.
Yeah. I mean, we need to add the MVP summit is, I mean, I'm going to, because it's just always, first of all, we get to see everyone, all the MVPs. Again, it's only twice a year we really get to connect, sometimes a little bit more, but just the insights that we get to capture, the celebratory atmosphere, and the feedback that we get to provide as MVPs to Microsoft. It's a great opportunity.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll be talking about that. It's coming up. It's in March. I mean, it's not that far off for our next one. So that's going to be really cool. I've had to say no to a lot of stuff to get there. So it better be phenomenal. If you're there, Nolan, you'll be there. We'll all have fun.
Excellent.
I will bring a portable recording kit, by the way. We will at least have one recording out of there, maybe a couple. Let's finish the shopping thing. Best deal you got on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, personal or business? Because, you know, everybody shops at this time of the year.
I did not buy anything on Cyber.
You didn't buy anything?
No.
So when did you buy that so her husband can hear it and believe her?
So Sandy, when did you buy my present? Did you buy it earlier in the year?
I paid full price for your present.
Okay, good. Good.
Nolan, what did you get? Did you do Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
I don't know if I can't think of anything specifically that I got a great deal on.
But, I am in such a.
But I did around that time renew my iStock subscription, and I did two things. One, I went down to a lower level, so I saved some money because I realized I didn't need as many images. The other thing I did was I negotiated with them, which I've done in the past, but this is just a reminder to everybody that if you're doing an annual stock subscription, you can call up and there's a lot of competition out there. So they want to keep you. So I got 20% off just by saying, well, you know, I'm thinking about going back to Shutterstock. And
you know what? Shutterstock would not negotiate with me.
Really?
I can't remember the package. So they lost a lot. I went down to a lower package. Because like you, I realized I didn't need the unlimited. Yeah.
Interesting.
I got a good email. So the guy I was talking to on the phone, he said, all right, he said, let me talk to my supervisor and I'll get back to you, you know, on that. And so he sends me an email saying, okay, we can give you 20% off and well played on the Shutterstock mention. So I thought that was very funny. That's all he needed to go to his boss with.
That's great. I guess I didn't throw around other names. Okay. Next time I'll say my colleague switched over to iStock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you say Nolan Hames, they'll definitely not give you a discount. Yeah. Right. We'll charge you more.
We're on Adobe stock and there is no negotiating with Adobe. Yeah. So
maybe we'll do another stocks episode in the new year. Because it's taken them a while, but I feel like they're getting with the times and offering more of these different packages for multiple seats and various things. And I was on a site, Alamy, the other day, which I maybe
Spell
didn't
that.
Know about, Alamy. And the only reason I was there because I was looking for a specific image and it sent me there. And they were the only ones that had it. But when it said, I had to license it for like $6 or something. It said,
that's nothing. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. All the different options. Well, I don't know if it was a license or it was a royalty for whatever it was, but it gave me all the different options, use cases. And one of the use cases was presentation, which for so long
labeled in their thing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
For so long was never there. So you're like, oh, well, it's a presentation. So do I hit brochure? Or do I hit web? Like, I don't know. So that was nice to see.
Well, that's reason enough for everyone out there listening to this to subscribe.
Hey, Nolan, can you add that link? Because I'd love to just kind of look at that site for their stuff and we'll throw it out. Yeah, I've never heard of them. Yeah. And yes, let's add that. Hey, Sandy, this is a side conversation, but we'll just have it here with everybody.
Sure.
So I've really been enjoying the Guild forums because they're becoming more of a discussion thread instead of a traditional Q&A.
Right.
I think preceding this type of topic, we should leverage the Guild forums to say, hey, we're going to have an episode about, you know, stock services and image services. Can everybody give us their input and things they like and don't like?
I think that would be, yes. So any one of us could go on and start planning that. I think that would be great.
The discussion threads, the idea of, hey, here's a topic I'd love to get everybody's input on. Okay, so Black Friday or Cyber Monday. So unlike Sandy, who's not telling the truth, I will tell the truth that I did go shopping. No, for the studio, I mean, now to put it in perspective, every year for probably the past 5 years, I wake up at the super early stupid hour and I go to Home Depot and I buy, they have poinsettia plants on sale for like $1 or $2 each. And we go buy the maximum number, which is usually 24. And then Lori wraps them all up and we give them to all of our neighbors and, you know, family and everything else. So that's my Black Friday tradition is I wake up and go to Home Depot. I'm like, okay, I can go to the manly place. I can go to Home Depot. And then I usually walk away with a whole bunch of other stuff. But this year I did purchase 4 new computers for show computers. And actually that 4 is turning into, it looks like 12 because we really like them, but they're Lenovo's as well. And they're the Legion Gaming series. So these are our show computers. And I was just about to pull the trigger on some other Lenovo's because I've really, we used Lenovo a while ago. We left them and now I'm coming back because they've really upped their game. But I do highly say the P52 Lenovo is a pretty fantastic system. It's a little bit bigger, but it has some great specs. I was about to purchase those. Then at Black Friday, I found this deal on this other gaming series one that was just too good a price to pass up. So I bought 4 of them. Of course, after Black Friday, I had to confess to Lori that I may have done a bit more shopping than the poinsettias, but you know, it all worked out. That was my Black Friday purchase.
With this being the final 2018 podcast, let's talk about 2019 plans. What
you mean for the podcast or for the industry, ourselves, our business?
Yeah. Predictions.
2019, the presentation podcast will continue. All 3 of us have committed to it for 2019. And we actually have, I mean, we already have like half the episode topics that we want to cover. And I think we just added 3 more this time here. So I would say big 2019 plans. I'm going to be at the MVP Summit. I'm going to be at the AIGA Design Conference here in San Diego, the AIGA San Diego Design Conference. I'll be at the Presentation Summit. And then I also have like 26 projects already on the calendar for travel. So 2019 is already busy and full. So I'm excited about it.
Nice. Sandy?
Well, I'm taking on a conference in April. You know, I resigned a couple years ago. I said I was never going to do it again. And I don't know, they keep coming back. So I'm taking on a conference in April. Of course, there's the MVP Summit. I'll be going there. You know what? I'm tempted to fly out to San Diego to go to the AIGA conference. I missed it when it was in Minnesota. So now I'll just have to pay.
We're having a hard time. There's one in the big AIGA national conference is in LA this year. It's in Pasadena. Oh, it's at a phenomenal facility, by the way. It's near where the Rose Parade is, but it's a really fun thing. I like doing meetings up there. I get to go there a couple times a year. But there's the San Diego one that we go to. It's kind of like we're part of AIGA San Diego.
Sure.
It's a really good conference. But the national one is like only 2 weeks later. And we just can't afford, I mean, literally every time I say yes to a weekend event, I know I'm saying no to business because every conference happens over the weekend that we cover. We just couldn't do both of them. So we stuck with the San Diego one this year, which means the national one will probably be in your backyard in Minnesota next year. And we'll be traveling out to see you because we're determined to get to it. But it's a fun conference. It's nice.
And there's that Click conference. I think I'll try to add to the list here.
Well, that's going to be in Seattle this year in June, I think. They're doing that again. And that's part of Creative Week. So I think there's other Creative
Pro. Hey, Nolan, can you give us a link to put to the show notes? Because one, I want to look at it, but we'll just make it available because I don't think a lot of people are familiar with it.
I had it up.
Of course, there's Presentation Summit. We will be there.
Yes.
Oh, what am I doing? I'm not doing much. I'll be at the MVP Summit, the Presentation Summit.
Talking like probably at least a dozen times at different companies and being.
We're booking training. I'm in San Francisco and Chicago and Detroit and LA, and we've started booking those a lot. But yeah, those are.
I want to close out our last episode of 2018 with a thank you to everyone that spends an hour with Nolan, Sandy, and myself twice a month. We really do have a lot of fun talking with each other and having you join the conversation because it's all about presentation, design, work, studios. It's things that we do and we love. So while you're enjoying holiday office parties and events, share the Presentation Podcast with other designers, presenters, and creatives. That would be a great gift from you to the 3 of us. I am looking forward to many amazing design projects in 2019 and hope you have a wonderful Christmas and are just as excited about 2019 as the 3 of us are. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. Check us out at our website, tlccreative.com, and thepowerpointblog.com, and you're listening to us, but thepresentationpodcast.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if you're interested in on-site data visualization or presentation training, give us a call or drop by Nolan Hames Creative for more information.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as PPTWiz.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.